Amen. Lovely to see you. And it's such a blessing to preach on one of the great Psalms, Psalm 27. It's so wonderful and so easy to preach on because it preaches for itself. But it's a psalm where David is really thanking God and looking at how faithful God is. As we've sung, Great is Thy Faithfulness. David is looking at the faithfulness of God in his life and desiring to be with God forever, which is God's promise to us. Amen. So let's start by looking at Psalm 27. Here we go. So it's on page 557, in your Bibles. I should have brought my glasses. Okay, but I've written it, I've put it up here. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. I should be looking at this and that. That one's a little bit too small for me to follow. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord. This only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says to you, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes. For false witness rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Amen. I've never stood here, so I don't know quite how small those words are up there. I always think they must be very large because Russell seems to read them so well, but there we go. Never mind. Amen. So David, here we see David full of confidence in God, isn't he? He's declaring God's faithfulness, so confident in God. So where is our confidence is the question that I want to start with. Where is our confidence? Where? How do we deal with problems in our life? Do we have that confidence in God? Sometimes I think we tend to try and give God a helping hand. Is it just me? Or has anyone done that in their lives, tried to give God a helping hand? Some examples here, maybe not relevant examples, but you know, maybe someone is a bit low on their finances this month, self-employed, and so they don't declare quite as much tax as they should or they might. Because, you know, we still need to give, we still need to do this, and so maybe we can just give God a bit of a hand. Maybe you want something, I want it now, and I really need it now, and so I'm going to get credit, I'm going to go overdrawn, or I'm going to get credit, which really I know is not really God's way, is it? We don't really need to live on credit when we're living our lives for God. That's not really God's way. A favourite one is, not amongst us here clearly, but is, I'm looking for a husband or a wife. I'm waiting on God for a husband or a wife. I've waited so long. I think this one will do. Yeah? I mean, I don't know if you've ever come across any Christians that have done this, who've decided, well, you know, no one's come along, so I'm going to make this choice. And, okay, so maybe he's not a Christian or she's not a Christian, but, well, she doesn't mind me going to church. And surely he'll change or she'll change as time goes by. I can change them. And so we give God a hand in his will in our lives. Amen? Yeah? Is it just me that's done this? You know, try to help God out. Or another one is, someone's done something against you, and I'm going to give that person, I'm going to tell that person, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. I'm going to put them right. When really that's not what the scripture says. The Bible tells us that we should allow God to take vengeance in our lives, and you know, that we should love our enemies and bless those that curse us. But we often try and give God that little helping hand. We'll never go through what David was going through or had been through. You know, we won't, I don't think in our lifetimes, we will quite be in that place where David was. But certainly many Christians around the world are in that place, as we're going to pray for later on. And in fact, even in this country, things are getting more and more difficult for Christians who want to really stand firm in their faith and be a faithful witness. Amen? Yeah? This is just one silly example, if you can see, but this was just from the news yesterday, I think, or a couple of days ago. A bus driver suspended after refusing to drive a vehicle with great gay pride rainbow colours on it because it promoted homosexuality. So he was a bus driver and he refused to drive that bus, and so he lost his job. What would you do in that position? I'm not saying that he did the right thing. I don't know here. Driving a bus with gay pride colours on it, I would feel very uncomfortable about that if that was my job. So would I have the integrity that this man had to actually lose my job? But as we see in this country, more and more Christians are being persecuted. Yeah? And nurses who talk about the gospel could lose their job. Certainly for me as a teacher, I have to be very careful about what I say in my workplace. And also in the education system, there is a very strong current to promote gay subject matter, and so as a teacher, I may well be in the future put in a position. So how about you? Maybe you're in a position where maybe you could be coming under persecution in your job. It could even be possible that churches might come under persecution from this country because of the Bible. It could be not that far distant in the future that the Bible becomes a book of hate speech. I can see it happening. So although we in England are not in the position that David was, we can still come under persecution for preaching our faith, for standing firm in a position of integrity in our life. And sometimes it's difficult in our lives to remain with integrity when we want to achieve something. And so we try and give God that helping hand. Amen? So, if we look in verses 1 to 3, David uses repetition to enforce his trust in God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So David was using that repetition to really to enforce that he was trusting God. In verse 2, in fact, when you look in the King James, it's in the past tense. In the NIV, for some reason, it's in the present tense. But if you can imagine that's in the past tense, when the wicked advanced against me to devour me, it is my enemies and foes who stumbled and fell. So David was looking back at his past, at the victories that he'd had. Now, whether the NIV is right or the King James is right, when David was writing this psalm, he certainly was very confident of what God had done in the past. Amen? He knew what God had done. He knew what his God was able to do. And he had confidence in his God. David wasn't confident in God as far as a positive confession. This wasn't a positive confession. It was trusting on what God had done for him in his life. And this reminds us of Paul's confidence in Romans 8. So if we just, you can turn to Romans 8, verses 31 to 39. I have put them up, but I think they're going to be very small. they're very small. Okay, I can turn around and read them, can't I? That's okay. So Romans 8, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. And that takes us back to the sermon this morning. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we have such a confidence. When you realize that God has chosen you to be sanctified, God has chosen you to be separated, then you can really start to have confidence in him in your life. And we shouldn't then really try and help God along in our lives. We should be able to trust God. David was in that position where he'd seen God work. He knew God was on his side. And so he had full confidence in allowing God. Amen? So, when we move on to verse 4, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. So, David had tasted the wonders of God, just as we have tasted and seen that God is good. So the question here, how much do we desire to be in the presence of God? Is that our first point of call when we have a spare moment? Or do we do something else? I know for me, it's not always my first point of call. I have some spare time. Sometimes I might watch a TV program, go fishing, do something else. Not that those things are wrong. But do we put God first? We can see that David yearned to be in the presence of God. When we die, we're going to be with God forever. Aren't we? So we will be with Him. And so this now we're born again, now we're saved, this is a preparation for when we actually meet with God. So might it not be a bad idea to actually desire to spend some time with our Lord? So easy. There's so much else to do in life. For the younger ones, Facebook and Twitter, and I better not embarrass myself, had I? But I'm sure there's lots of things that I have no idea about that people spend their time on. Christians spending their time doing things which are really fruitless. Are we spending our time really seeking God? Is that more than that? Dave, we can see from David, this is his delight. That's the delight of his heart, is to spend time with the Lord. Amen? I've completely gone off notes. Never mind. So in verse 4, the experience of the goodness and greatness of God that made David think about how wonderful it is to seek Him and to experience His presence and to know more about Him. So David wanted to really press in. Now, if you think about it, there was something different about David's position and our position. Because David wanted to know God more, but David didn't have all the writings of Paul and all the apostles and all of the Old Testament to read, as we do. We have the Word of God, so we can seek God ourselves in a different way to how David could. We have a great advantage. We have this wonderful book, which tells us all of God's ways, teaches us all of God's ways. Again, yet, we tend to put it on the shelf and read it maybe for 5 or 10 minutes, maybe for half an hour a day. But are we really desiring to study the Word of God? This is such a wonderful book, full of wonders. It's literally God speaking to us. Yet we still find so many other things more interesting. Yeah? We find so much else more interesting than the Word of God. But really, it's a wonderful thing to study. And if you're not studying the Word of God every day, then I just want to recommend it to you. It is so beautiful. And it will change your life. You know, I know the difference in my life from when I'm spending time with God in the Word of God and when I'm not. There's a big difference in my life, in the peace in my heart when I'm not studying the Word of God, when I'm too busy doing other things. Okay, so in verses 5 and 6, let's just read them again. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. He shall set me higher upon a rock. David believed that a life spent seeking God would know a measure of safety and security, even in the presence of his enemies. So this is what I was saying a minute ago, that when I sin, when I do things I know are wrong, I absolutely lose the peace in my day-to-day, whatever I'm doing. I don't know if you're the same, but I just don't feel that peace about what I'm doing. I don't feel as confident. But David here knew that his security, his safety was in God. When we think about it, what is the worst that can happen? As Russell said before I preached today. What's the worst that can happen? You know, the worst that can happen. I think, you know, when I go to the Philippines to preach the word, in some areas, it's possible that I could be kidnapped. Lots of foreigners are kidnapped. What's the worst that could happen? The worst possible thing is that someone could take my life. That's the worst thing that can happen to us. That's the best thing that's going to happen, because you're going to face Jesus, aren't you? You're going to be in glory. You're going to be in eternity. All done. All done and dusted. Thank you very much. So David's security was in God. And because of this, there was an outflow of praise and worship to God. Amen? And so, what I want to challenge us here is that, do we have that outflow of praise and worship to God? When we are singing our hymns, when we're worshiping God, how emotional do we get? I can remember long ago, tears pouring down my face as I was worshiping God. But sometimes us British are not quite like that, are we? And we tend to be less emotional. Now, although we need to keep our worship scriptural, absolutely, but there's nothing wrong with being emotional. You know, if you say to your wife, "I love you." Okay, well, you said I love you, but it doesn't really cut the mustard, does it? But if there's tears in your eyes, Russell, next time you say to your wife, "I love you," if there's tears in your eyes, she's going to know that you really mean it. Yeah? Yeah, if the tears are flowing down, "I really love you." Wow, he really, really does love me. So sometimes we British need to just get a little less starchy and be a little bit more emotional. I don't think it hurts us to be emotional in worship. Anyone agree with me? Okay, yeah, great, good. So for David, you could see this bursting outflow of love for God. How am I doing for time, Russell? Okay. All right, how long? 5 minutes, 10 minutes? 5 minutes, okay. There we go. Right, okay. So in verses 7 to 12, let's read verses 7 to 12 again. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me, nor forsake me, God, my Savior. We see there, do not reject me, do not leave me, nor forsake me. I'm sure that rings a bell to some of us, do not leave me. And God's promise is that he will never leave us, nor forsake us. Amen? Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. That's something that happens to us, isn't it? False witnesses, people say things against you. And it's so easy for us to try and come back and defend ourselves and say something back against that person, but that's not what the Bible tells us to do. You know, God tells us that vengeance is mine. Leave space for my retribution. So we shouldn't be the ones that are trying to defend ourselves or stand up for ourselves or have arguments to try and win battles of, you know, where people are saying things against us. No, that's God's job. That's God who does that. Yeah, so Hebrews 13:5, we won't read it, where God promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us. It's also echoed in Deuteronomy 31:6. So David was praying for God to teach him his ways. And as I said, we are so blessed because we have the Word of God to teach us God's ways. And we need to use it. We need to study it and see what God's ways are. Really, as Christians, we shouldn't really have many questions about what we should do. Or should I do this? Should I do that? We should know because we know the Word of God. We know what the Word says. In verse 10, sometimes even family will forsake us. Friends will forsake us. As Christians, very often, people will turn their back on you when you're making a stand as a Christian. And I have experience of this. I won't go into details. We don't have time, and I'm sure you're not that interested. But I have first-hand experience of this in my life, where family, where friends have turned their back on me because of my Christian faith. And that may well be your experience. But God has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Am I going the right way? So, yeah, Romans 12, verses 19 to 21. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now this goes back to the Old Testament, but we won't do that. Go into that now. But God is the one that reaps the vengeance. It's not us. Do not overcome evil by evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. Very, very quick story. Very quick story. I had a guy once who was threatening to kill me because he thought that I'd taken £2,000 of his money. This was a long time ago. £2,000 was a lot of money. He called me. He said, I want that money. I hadn't got the money. I hadn't taken it. It was, in the end, we found it was a complete mistake. But he said this was a guy who had a shotgun in his car. He wasn't joking. He was it's a long story, and I won't go into the whole thing. But he called me and said, I'm coming round to get the money or I'll kill you. And genuinely, he was serious. And I said, okay, George. I said, I'll be waiting at the door, but I love you. I don't know where it came from. Well, some of you that know me probably think, yeah, that's the sort of thing you'd say, Keith. I said, I love you. And he put the phone down and he didn't come round. He didn't come round for the money. He was 5 minutes away in his car. He had a Range Rover, shotgun was down by the side. I'm not kidding you. And he didn't come round. And then a week later he called me to say, oh, found the money. Okay, that was it. Didn't say sorry, anything like that. Found the money. So, yeah, God is the one. And we can overcome evil with love. I don't know. I always think that if I was kidnapped in that situation, I would just tell those people that I love them. I would say, I love you. And of course, that God loves you. I believe that God would give me the power and the strength to do that. Overcome evil with good. It's not easy, is it? It's not easy. But it's God's way. And like David, if we're going to trust God, we've got to trust him to do that. So finally, David gives us all advice. So firstly, place your confidence in God alone and not in your own abilities. Secondly, enjoy God's presence through the word and through prayer and through worship. Enjoy God's presence through worship. Study to learn God's ways. Don't be ignorant of the word. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, we all know it. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And finally, wait on God. Don't try and do his job. Amen?
Let's pray together, shall we? Thanks. Father, thank you for showing us your great kindness towards us. Thank you for showing us how gracious and good you are. Thank you that you are the God who is our light and our salvation. That you are the one who gives us a firm footing to stand on in the midst of a broken world, which so often stands opposed to you. Thank you that you are always faithful to us. Thank you that we can be confident in you. Lord, we are grateful that you don't expect us to be confident in ourselves, but in you and in what you have done for us. Thank you for reminding us of the security that comes in you and just how wonderful you are. Lord, we pray now as we respond to you in worship, but then as we turn to you in prayer, that you might show us more of yourself, remind us of your goodness, of your faithfulness, of your power, your might, your grace, and your mercy towards us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.